Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. I'll be joined by Seth Meganson here today as we'll go into our NCAA tournament, coronavirus edition, Sweet 16. And we're going to break down the first day of action in our Sweet 16, the field that we've been playing through. AFP bracketologist Seth Meganson, we used his final bracket to get our NCAA tournament together. We've gone through the first 4 days of the tournament last week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We did podcasts and went through the matchups one by one. And then we got to our field of 16 now left in this tournament. And as we're waiting for Seth to call in, we've got matchups in the Midwest Regional and the West Regional tonight. That's what have been played. This is, we're just following the schedule that the NCAA had for its tournament field. And then we just put the bracket together with Seth's rendering. And our matchups today would be, let's see, we'd have in the Midwest in Indianapolis, it'd be Kansas and Vermont. We had a 13 seed getting all the way through. Vermont, a team that actually I'm pretty familiar with, saw them in JPJ playing Virginia really tough back in November. Virginia eventually won in that game, 61-55. And then we'd have Creighton and Michigan State in that other matchup. And I got Seth calling in now, so let's go ahead and bring him in. And Seth, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm doing well. Ready to talk some basketball.
Yeah, and I was breaking down the matchups in the Midwest Regional and then the West Regional, the other set of games that we'll break down today. That would be out in Los Angeles, and that would have been Gonzaga Liberty, another double-digit seed that made it through to our Sweet 16, and then Villanova Providence, a couple teams from the Big East actually there. So, Seth, let's start back in the Midwest Regional. First of our two number one seeds playing in our games tonight, Kansas and Vermont. Intriguing matchup. The team that people in Kansas, the team that people thought would be the favorite going into this, and Vermont, one of your Cinderellas. So how do you break this one down?
Yeah, so Vermont's going to need a big game from Anthony Lamb and Stephen Smith in this game to even have a prayer of this. You know, I know this season was a, you know, crazy season where a lot happened, but I feel like Kansas would have probably went into this tournament as the pretty clear favorite. I don't know if you would agree with that, Chris. So Vermont would definitely need to get from their star players, get big games. This game would remind me, I feel like, a lot of, I don't know if you remember, 2010 Kentucky-Cornell. That's kind of the feel I get, like, thinking about this game, where you got a team that's, you know, not, that's, you know, this moment, you know, they don't come to this moment very often, but you don't really feel like the moment's going to be too big for a team like Vermont. Like, they're more than capable of handling a blue blood like Kansas, but, you know, Kansas, there's just so much star power on this team. I don't know if they would have an answer down low at all against Vermont would against Kansas. I think at the end of the day, there would just be too much, you know, just too many good athletes, too much just everywhere on the court. Kansas is probably better than Vermont. Like I said, Lamb would have to have, I feel like, a really big day, which he's capable of. I mean, we talked about how he went off against Virginia. So he's capable, I feel like, of dropping, you know, in the high 30s, maybe even 40s to keeping him in this game. But I think at the end of the day, Vermont just doesn't have enough firepower to slow down Kansas.
Yeah, my concern too would be the size differential. Lamb actually, he's the starting power forward at 6'6", but he also plays a good bit of minutes at the five for this team. Daniel Giddens for Vermont, and I remember this team I was mentioning from seeing them in JPJ. A good team, a solid team, very disciplined team. But and Giddens is 6'11", but outside of him, they don't really have a lot of size. And Giddens is prone to foul trouble, and so, you know, when you're trying to you know, match up with Kansas and what Kansas can do. Adoka Azubuike, you know, he is such a tough guard in the post. He's going to be a really effective NBA player eventually when he gets there. You know, so I would be concerned for Vermont in that respect. Lamb, you know, well, he'll get his points. He'll throw his shots up there. Kansas can actually, you know, it's the kind of thing, though, where Kansas could really you know, kind of put some junk defense in there, you know, really focus on Lamb. Virginia tried to do that, and he still got his 30 points in that game. Virginia was running everybody at him in waves. you know, they tried, started with Braxton Key. They put Casey Morsell, you know, they kind of did a rotation of guys there. Thomas Waldetensa, I got some time on him, just trying to wear him down with the different defenders. And Kansas will try to do the same thing. I think the size differential and just Kansas's overall depth of talent. Seth, I totally agree with you. This was the team that would have been the favorite going in. I've been saying for the last probably, I guess, dating back to maybe late January, that in a season where it seemed like there was really no one emerging as a great team, Kansas was the closest to that we had this year. And so, yeah, I would have to say Kansas in this one as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only, like, just to play devil's advocate to say, like, what could Vermont do here to pull it out? And, you know, I said Lamb would, you know, getting his points and maybe having even more points than he's usually scored. But, yeah, I think they'd have to get Azubuike in foul trouble. Because I agree with you. They wouldn't have an answer for him, I feel like, at all. So, yeah, they would have to, like, hope for foul trouble, maybe hope that guys like Dotson don't have their best game. Just too much would have to fall right for Vermont. And crazier things have happened. But, yeah, I think it's just too much. And so I definitely think Kansas would pull this out.
So we'll throw Kansas into the Elite Eight. And that's not a surprise, I don't think, in this one. Our other matchup out in the Midwest – boy, this would have been a fun one, man. Creighton, the number 2 seed, the number 3 seed, Michigan State, and we don't get to see this, but let's imagine how it would have gone.
Yeah, this probably would have, for today at least. I'm not sure about tomorrow, but for today, this would have been the game that I'm looking forward most to in the Sweet 16. You know, Creighton has been, you know, a lot better this year than what people thought going in. Like, they were supposed to be a middle of the pack Big East team. They come out, win the Big East regular season. They can score. It doesn't matter who they're playing. I feel like Creighton can score against anybody in the country. But then you got Michigan State, who was the favorite before the year started to win the whole thing. You know, Winston and Izzo and all of them, they would be on a mission. You know, they came close last year, got to the Final Four, didn't quite make it to the finals. And so, you know, this team's playing its best basketball, so they would really, really be fired up going into this tournament. I feel like this game would be a shootout. I really do. I feel like it'd be back and forth, just matching points with each other. It would be in Indianapolis, so both teams are relatively close, would probably have a good crowd there. It would just be a fun game for sure. Gosh, this one is definitely tough. I'm trying to break it down. I kept going back and forth in my head about it, like over and over. And, you know, I think I'm actually going to side with Creighton on this one. And why I like Creighton a little bit more is I just feel like they've been more consistent the whole year. And I know Michigan State's been playing very good basketball at the end of the year, but Creighton has too. And Creighton has, you know, 3 or 4 guys on their team who can score. Like, there's not one guy that's an option that I feel like is drastically better than the other. Now, Alexander and Zurawski, I always can't pronounce his name. I said that in an earlier podcast. I can't pronounce his name. I'm always so bad about pronouncing it. Both of those guys, you know, lead the way in scoring, but there's other guys on that team for Creighton that can score. I think Michigan State would just eventually not have any answers late in the game. But, you know, that's kind of surprising to say because you got a guy like Winston who, who a moment won't be too great for him. See, I'm going back and forth on it already while I'm talking about it. I said Creighton, and now I'm almost talking myself into going Michigan State. But, no, I'm going to stick with Creighton, but I'm very interested to – I would have been very interested to see this game. And, yeah, it just all comes down to – I just think that Creighton would have more options of scoring – and Michigan State maybe eventually just wouldn't be able to keep up. And I'd say Creighton would eke out just a slight win and probably what would be the best game of the Sweet 16.
You know what's fun about this one is you look at these two lineups, they're mirror images of each other in lots of ways. But both groups are this new modern positionless basketball kind of thing where, you know, you play – I mean, I look at this and you know, Michigan State, the bulk of their minutes at center go to Xavier Tillman at 6'8". And at Creighton, bulk of their minutes at center go to 6'7", Christian Bishop. You know, and it's not ironic that Michigan State would play that way. Draymond Green is he's the ultimate Swiss Army knife, and he's a Michigan State alum. So in the sense of Michigan State. But, yeah, these two teams are so similar. You know, they just five guys out on the floor. And when you play the way they both do, you know, it's really hard to run pick and rolls because, you know, everybody can switch and cover five positions. And it would be a fun matchup. It would be the ultimate in modern basketball. And I think I'll agree that Creighton, just a little bit more firepower. Number three in the country in KenPom.com offensive efficiency this year. Just a little more firepower in what is otherwise a very evenly matched game. So we're going to send Creighton to the Elite Eight. And on Saturday, they'll match up with Kansas in the Elite Eight for a shot at the Final Four this year. So now let's head to our other two matchups. And another one seed against a double-digit seed in this one out west in Los Angeles. Gonzaga and Liberty, a team that our listeners in Virginia are very familiar with. You talk about a contrast in styles. You've got Gonzaga playing fast pace, and you've got Liberty playing Virginia pace. How does this one go?
Yeah, this is definitely another one of those contrasted style games that we talked about a lot for the first two rounds. But I think the difference here is I feel like Gonzaga, though, can adapt. I really do. I think Gonzaga can – I know they like to play fast, but I've watched enough of Gonzaga this year where I'm like, if things got slowed down, they'll be fine. I feel like, you know, the pace of play that Liberty will want to play at won't necessarily hurt Gonzaga as much as it probably would have affected other teams that we had Liberty beating in the first two rounds. So, yeah, so this is just going to be a whole new different challenge for Liberty. I think this would be another low-scoring game, like I've said, for most Liberty games so far in this tournament. I think Liberty will play with Gonzaga. I definitely think that this wouldn't be a blowout, or at least not a game that, like, right off the bat, Gonzaga dominates for 40 minutes. I think Gonzaga might pull away or something like that, but if they did, it would be within the last, you know, 10, 5 minutes of the game. Liberty, they're just – what they do is so effective. The way they play, and we've always talked, you know, it's the Virginia style. They took some things from Virginia with their coach and everything. But is it enough to beat Gonzaga? Probably not. Holmesley and James would have to, again, these are, you know, the smaller schools are going to need their best players to put out huge outputs. They're going to need big outputs from these guys. And Gonzaga can just, like, much like Creighton, they can find points from anywhere. They're so deep, even off the bench, they could find points. I definitely think Gonzaga will be able to play whatever style Liberty wants to play. I even think Gonzaga would probably be able at times to speed Liberty up just because, you know, Gonzaga is just so effective at what they do. But yeah, I just think Gonzaga just has too many options in this game. I say Liberty keeps it close for a while, but I just don't think Liberty will be able to score enough points either because I think Gonzaga's defense is underrated. Some people think, you know, that haven't played much about it and everything like that. I mean, they're playing Liberty. I think their defense can shut down Liberty. So, yeah, as much as I'd like to keep Liberty going, I'm going with Gonzaga.
All right, Seth, your phone was starting to break up there towards the end. So, but we got the Zags call out for that, and I'll agree with that. What would be interesting in this one for Caleb Holmesley, a senior, this would have been a showcase for him in terms of his ability to, you know, looking ahead to a potential NBA draft possibility. He and James are both, Scotty James, the two best players on his team, are both guys that, you know, James maybe a little more on the fringe. But Holmesley is a guy that if you've not watched Liberty, and you probably haven't out there in the rest of the world, he's just a solid, very fundamentally sound player that was a guy that coming out of high school wasn't very ballyhooed. That's why he ends up at Liberty. But he can put it in the net. He can do all kinds of things. He's a guy that shoots 38% from three. He gets to the foul line. He rebounds well. He just does all the little things well. And in this one, it would, you know, the key for Gonzaga in this one would be for them to speed up the pace. They would have to make Liberty miss shots. If you can, you know, to speed up a team that plays the way Liberty does, Coach Richie McKay, longtime assistant under Tony Bennett at UVA, it's hard to speed these teams up. But the one way you do so is you force misses, and you if you can make them miss You know, you can maybe try to speed things up a little bit. Those kind of teams, though, you know, a Liberty team playing the pack line defense and the philosophy of McKay plays, you know, they don't really try to, you know, to press the offensive boards much. They do try to, you know, get back on defense and prevent that. But I think Gonzaga could run a little bit with this group. The score would probably be still lower than most Gonzaga games you see. I think it would be in the 60s most likely. But I think, yeah, at the end, Gonzaga, both with their ability to be more efficient offensively, and you know, get enough stops. Their size would be a big advantage here. You know, Liberty is in the post would be 6'8" and 6'6", and Gonzaga can run any number of guys, it seems, who are 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet tall out there. Eventually, that would sort of strangle Liberty. But man, it would be fun for a while. We might be, you know, into the early part of the second half in a single digit game and still thinking, hey, man, Liberty makes a couple of shots here. They might do something special. But I think in the end, I agree. Gonzaga probably pulls this one out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And another thing you have to think about there is this is Liberty's first trip to the Sweet 16. And I know that this is kind of cliche a little bit. You also don't know how Liberty's going to react to that. Like, they might come out of their, you know, system, the players, a little bit. Maybe they will shoot a little bit more in Gonzaga. We'll be able to speed them up because of, you know, maybe nerves or something like that. I know that's kind of a cliche and a big what if, but that's just something to think about. You know, Liberty might, like, not have their feet under them at the very beginning of the game because of, you know, how big the moment is.
So we'll advance Gonzaga. So two of our one seeds have made it to the Elite Eight now. And our other matchup is a Villanova-Providence, two programs that know each other pretty well. And they're out west, though, and so – you know, I'm thinking of timing of this. You're going to want the one seeds playing at different times, so, you know, maximize your potential audience. Gonzaga probably plays the late game. These two teams are playing the early game, so at least for the East Coast teams, they're not playing, you know, like too late into the night, I presume. I would think they'd be the first game. But Nova and Providence, how does this one play out?
Yeah, so two big East teams out west. Yeah, they probably are wondering how the heck I came up with that. But yeah, this is a very interesting matchup. I praised Providence ever since we've started this podcast. I've talked about how well they've played. I've really liked them, and now they're going up against a familiar foe in Villanova, who they defeated on their win streak that they've been on back, I think it was end of February, early March, somewhere in there. So yeah, definitely would be a good game, probably another Week 16 game that I think a lot of people might not, I don't know if necessarily might not have their eye on, but might be better than what people initially think. So yeah, you got a team in Villanova who, you know, they've been here before. They know what they got to do under Jay Wright. You know, it's just ever since then buried their demons in 2016, overcoming those early upsets. They've just, I feel like every tournament they come into it as just a whole different program, a whole different team that's just, you know, capable of beating anybody any given day and are always going to be a favorite going into this tournament as long as Jay Wright's there. Yeah, so the two teams having familiarity with each other I think would be big in this game. I think this is going to be another close one, another back-and-forth one, much like Creighton and Michigan State. It's just going to come down to whether or not Providence can keep their hot streak going. When you line these two teams up, Villanova's the better team. They are they're just in every way, I feel like they're the better team. Providence has very good guard play, but Villanova has better guard play. Providence's bigs were playing a little bit better coming down the stretch, but I still feel like Villanova's bigs are a little better, even though they don't really play a big. They don't really play bigs. It's kind of, you know, kind of like what we were talking about with with Creighton and Michigan State. I still feel like Villanova's better everywhere. So it just really comes down to can Providence keep their hot streak going here and make a trip to the Elite Eight. I think with this one, I think that this is where the hot streak stops for Providence. I think just Bay and Gillespie and Moore for Villanova are just going to be too much in this game. I think Providence is going to give them a fight, though. I will even say that this game, I could see this being, you know, your buzzer beater game for the Sweet 16. I just don't think that – I think eventually, you know, you get these teams that get on hot streaks. they're rolling, and then usually the gas fall, you know, the tires fall off. The only team I can think of who didn't have that happen to them was UConn back in 2011. It was just like they couldn't lose no matter what once March came around. But yeah, I just feel like at the end of the day, Villanova would probably know what they need to do to slow Providence down because they're so familiar with them. Providence, again, would know what Villanova does, but I just feel like Villanova will be able to execute what they want to do better than Providence will. And as much as I would like to keep putting Providence going in this tournament, I just think Jay Wright and Villanova will have all the answers this time around. And I think Villanova will get to the Elite Eight to set up a matchup with Gonzaga.
These two teams play twice in regular season because they're conference foes, each winning by 4 points. So they split their season series. That's why you're right. I mean, this would be another one. You can't presume it wouldn't be another tight game with these two. It certainly would be fun. That's the one thing about these kind of matchups, you know, when you get into a tournament and the brackets go together and you say, wow, how do we end up with Villanova and Providence out west? It's just the way it works sometimes. And these matchups can be so intriguing. I'm thinking about, like, you know, previous years, way back in the 80s, Virginia playing NC State back in the 83. I think it was the Elite Eight that year. And those two teams already played each other three times. 81 Final Four, Virginia played Carolina. They'd played three times that year against each other. You don't really need a game plan that much. You've had the whole week to get ready, but you already know you've got your strengths and weaknesses. The players all know already who they're guarding and what their tendencies are. It's just go out there, throw the ball up in the air, and start playing. And these two teams are Big East teams anyway. They're going to fight. It's going to be a brawl from the opening tip to the final buzzer. And I'm there with you. Yeah, you know, the scores of those first two games were 64-60, and then Villanova, and that was the Providence loss at home, actually. They each won on each other's home floor, too. Providence then won the most recent game back on February 29th, winning 58-54. So the score would be somewhere around there. It'd be around 60-59. We'll go with Villanova. And so, you know, with some really good matchups, we still end up, at least with this part of our Sweet 16 bracket, with chalk. We have Kansas, the number one seed, beating Vermont. Creighton, the number two seed, beating Michigan State. So they'll meet on Saturday. In our Elite Eight matchups, trying to get to the Final Four. And then Gonzaga, the one seed, defeats Liberty. And actually, I say chalk. Villanova was the three seed. So, but still somewhat with an earlier upset, getting Providence, the number seven seed, into our bracket here. So we'll have a 1-2 and a 1-3 matchup coming up on Saturday in the Midwest and West regionals. And then just to kind of plant the seed for tomorrow, I've got this on our website, by the way, and later today we'll have some more previewing tomorrow's games. But for those who are joining in and haven't seen this yet, tomorrow's Sweet 16, the Friday matchups, East Regional New York, South Regional Houston. The South in Houston, it'll be the number four seed Wisconsin taking on number eight LSU, which upset to get through to the Sweet 16. And then the other matchup in the South Regional, number two seed Florida State, the ACC champion, taking on the number six seed Iowa. And then in the East Regional, this would be the one. This is the loaded bracket of all. New York, Madison Square Garden. It'd be Dayton Duke, 1-4. And then Kentucky, Virginia, the defending champs. We have some fun for tomorrow. We got some homework to do, Seth, to get ready to break all those down.
Oh yeah, totally. Definitely looking forward to doing the East. That we talked about that last time. That would be a fun bracket. And then, you know, you got the South, like, with a couple upsets there, with LSU as an 8 and Iowa as a 6 getting the Sweet 16. We can see if maybe they can keep their runs going to the Elite Eight and see who gets a chance to go to the Final Four.
So that's what we've got for coming up tomorrow. And hey, we did pretty good this time getting through these games. We can be more thorough with less games. That's a good thing there. So Seth, want to thank you for your time, and we'll get back tomorrow at 10. Is that good for you?
Oh yeah, that works perfect for me.
Great. So tomorrow, and for our listeners out there, tomorrow morning 10 o'clock, we will be doing our East and South regionals here on the podcast. So please join us then. And for all those who joined in, thank you. Thank you to Seth. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.